In the last lecture, we saw that using a recursive scheme, it is possible to compute the DFT and its inverse in vivo and again. The same result can be achieved if we see the connection, the simple connection between these two transformations and the classical interpolation problem. Natural link with the classical interpolation, classical polynomial, not trigonometric, polynomial, classical polynomial interpolation in this sense. Just remark that when we multiply the matrix V, this is the case of the inverse DFT by Z on the left value, on the right Z. If we observe that the matrix V is a van der Monde matrix. Let us pick a particular case and say n equal to 4. You have that V is designated this way. It is the van der Monde matrix built on the nodes, on the distinct nodes So this product V by Z gives the values y sub k of the interpolation polynomial P computed in omega to the power k. And for the same reason, Z expressed as the inverse of V by Y, that is the DFT, gives, this is the inverse problem, so I start from the values represented in Y, and finally I find the coefficients Z, so this product gives the coefficients coefficient Z of the polynomial, the interpolation polynomial P of X, such that P in those nodes assumes some given values. The values in the vector y. So the proof that we gave last time can be reformulated. The proof of complexity can be reformulated.
In this way,
let us consider only the case of the inverse. Mm-hmm.
So we have y with the index k, is the value of p. P has a coefficient z, so we may write
p as coefficient z j, the powers of x, p computed in
the power k of the primitive root of unity,
substitute.
The idea, the same idea that was exploited in the proof we saw last time,
that is to split the sum
in two subsums, each relative to the odd, the even, and the odd values of the index.
So for n equal to,
let us write all this in a particular case, and
equal to 8. Seven odd 0 omega 0 by k plus the last even index is 6. The only odd terms are 1, 3, 5, and 7. Okay. From the odd part
of the expansion, let us put
as a factor on the left
omega to the power k.
So what is left in the round brackets? This polynomial which is again the polynomial of degree,
and the first polynomial, this has degree, can be seen as a polynomial of degree 3. Let us call P7. Computed in which value?
Omega
to the power twice k.
Why? So the degree is 3, but also the second polynomial is a polynomial of degree 3. Say we are computed in the same
for the same value of omega.
Multiply by the power k of the root omega. So we see easily in this way that the desired value, yes, can be seen as p, I think again, p n plus this extra factor p of for which values of k? For k starting from 0 until 3. For the leading values of k, we would find, I do not write the complete expansion. The values, the left values of k, let us write them as four plus q. We will find gain p ln omega twice k minus, for the same reason, with the same trick that we saw last time, omega raised to the power q p of well, so we reach the same conclusion. We see here that since this is and root, well, n is n over 2 of a unity, we can compute p even, p odd, the same values as here, with 2 transformation of order n over 2 plus, again, don't remember the additions were n, and additions, and n or n over 2 multiplication. So, maybe in a faster way we can reach using the same recursion argument, that is, the fact that the squares of squares and primitive root of unity is and primitive root of unity, and is the basic reason which lies, which underlies, we could say, these results. Well, simple remarks about some aspect that must be taken into account when one implements the recursion. It is well known that it is better to avoid recursions in implementations. So the first remark regarding these more technical aspects is the play of indices in the various rearranging
of the indices when we distinguish the even from the odd part of the set of indices. Let us suppose again that n is 8. The 8 values of the indices. When we split odd and even odd, we 0, 2, 4, 6, and 1, 3, 5, 7. Here again, 0, 4, odd, 2, 6, 7, 1, 5. So the first algorithm, FFT algorithm, proposed in literature, that was the famous Cooley and Tacchi, Cooley and Tacchi, FFT algorithm. Starts from a rearrangement of the natural order of the indices, obtaining this final arrangement that is suitable to be used immediately to start with FFTs of order 2. I will start performing these 4 FFT of order 2, then these 2 FFT of order 4, and then the final FFT of order 8. This rearrangement is obtainable using the so-called technique called bit reversal. It is quite simple. Because if you represent the first 8 integers with 3 bits, then reverse the order of the bits in the representation, This is the natural order, the reversal. Corresponding values of the representations obtained by the bit reversal technique are 0, this is 4, this is 2. You see that we are obtaining exactly this arrangement. This is 7, this is 6, this is 1, this is 5, this is 3, and this is the last. If we start from the vector Z rearranged according to the bit reversal, the non-recursive implementation A, no, this is one of many implementation of the FFT according to the Kuhn-Hentakel idea. Here you find a scheme. Of a few rows of code, so it is simple to write it in MATLAB. It starts from the data given in this form and is a power of 2, and the exponent is s. M is in the last step is over 2. Start from n equal to 1. 40 from 1 to s. M is doubled. Theta is the current primitive root of unit. So it is 2 by p divided by n. C and S are the cosine of theta and the sine of theta. We need also this auxiliary variables, let us call W, R, E, W real part, one is assignment, and W imaginary part 0. Then we start with the various FFTs of lower order with this from 0 to m over 2 minus 1. And with this inner cipher, we compute the various entries of the result, of the current result. H from J step M to K is the shifted index. H plays the role of Q in the proof of last time. So K is M over 2 Q H. Okay. Rho is the extra factor, is the product of the extra factor, which is given by this plus I is the imaginary unit by the imaginary part multiplied by here appears for the first time the partial result. Z is replaced by Z in the recursion. The final steps the reconstruction of Z, the previous values of Z minus product. Here you see the sign minus, so this is the second part of the new vector. With these indices, the first part of the new vector with index h is given by the previous with index h plus so we have found, we have computed here the new vector z. We then here this cycle, then we have to update the values of these two variables in order to have the new row. So we compute sigma, we assign to sigma the old WRE, update WRE with sigma by C minus WIM by S, and is the real part, the new imaginary part is given by the sum, the old imaginary part by C plus sigma by S. One here recognize the trigonometric formulas for the cosine and the sine of the sum of two angles. So this is the trigonometric formula for the addition of for the cosine and sine of the sum of two angles is applied. So that's all. We have updated these two values, and we have to close this, and out of cycle. So the implementation is quite simple. This is exactly the Cohen and Taki algorithm, which is also stable. It can be proven that the Cooley and Taki algorithm, so this is the exact statement of a theorem which says that under the usual assumption that we made, if Z tilde is the computed value, this is referred to the DFT. So this is the computed value with the Cooley and Taki output of the
key. This is the week here of the so there is no substantial difference, but this this scheme compute V by Z, where Z is represented by Y dF. So it is the inverse dFt. Well, the stability result is the following. The exact value of the result here the result is referred to Z, but it would be better to use Y in the correct form. So this is the result, so let us call it Y, it is more correct. Two norm in relative sense divided by the two norm of Y is less or equal than a coefficient which is about 8.5 by epsilon, which is the machine epsilon, la precisione di macchina, by square root of n log n. It is reasonable that the relative error depends on n, the constant, and on the machine epsilon. The constant is relatively small, and the growth is well contained. So this is a good result. For the completeness of information, there is another well-known implementation of the DFT, inverse DFT, which is the gain, an FFT algorithm due to Gentleman and Sand, and as an alternative to the Cooley-Ohtake algorithm. There is another algorithm due to these two guys, just again it has a bigger and complexity. The main difference with the when compared to the Cooley-Ohtake algorithm is that the big reversal in this case is performed not at the beginning of the procedure but at the end of the procedure. Now I will show you, I will try to show you a short list and a short description of some applications of the DFT transform, starting from the product of polynomials. Let us start from this important problem. I suppose you know that the problem, the algorithms, the complexity of the product of polynomials is closely linked to the problem of
product of integers, of large integers. So, multiplication. So all the results found for the product of two polynomials can be transferred to the problem of integer multiplication. Why? But the reason is simple. The reason is that an integer, say x, integer, can be expressed as a polynomial. Specific polynomial computed in the base beta of the representation. Why? You can write the integer as n minus 1 is the n is the number of digits in the base, the integer so can be expressed in this way, and we see that the polynomial P with coefficients having as coefficients the digits of the representation gives exactly the number x. So two integers are associated to two polynomials. Multiply two integers is the same that multiplying two polynomials. Why the product of two polynomials can be computed efficiently with some FFTs? The reason is that, let us call P and Q the two polynomials. let us call R the product. Of the two polynomials. The degrees, let us write the degrees of the polynomials we are dealing with, n minus 1, for simplicity, same for Q. The degree of the product, so is sum of 2 degrees, twice and minus 2. As it is well known from the properties of the interpolation polynomials, the product polynomial R is uniquely determined by a set of values, say the nodes of interpolation, x sub I, with I the degree. The distant values must be the degree plus one, so I start from zero. So here we have again. Is it right? Yes. With the nose distinct. And generally, these values can be expressed as a van der Waals matrix multiplied by the vector or coefficients of R. If we choose as nodes, as distinct nodes, the powers of the root of unity. Which root of unity? The root of unity corresponding to the degree of the polynomial. So the idea is the following. We choose as nodes omega root of unity, the degree of the polynomial. So twice n minus 2. This is the degree of the nodes will be the power of this root. We will compute P and this node Q. We'll perform the products from these values, which are the values of the product. We will obtain the coefficients of R. This computation, this and the mass are DFTs or inverse DFTs. Why? This is suitable by the coefficient of P. Say P from 0 until n minus 1. So this is an inverse. Yeah. Also here for the same reason. Here we have some product. So we have a linear complexity subproblem. And the last, recall the coefficients of a polynomial, an interpolation polynomial by the values of the function is the classical interpolation problem, which consists in inverting the van der Waals matrix. So the last step is the DFT. Well, with three FFTs plus a linear subproblem, we will obtain finally the all the coefficients of the product polynomial. Is it clear? This is a product matrix, van der Waals matrix by vector. products, Vandermonde lattice, bisector, inverse of the Vandermonde matrix, so PFP, multiplied by vector.
And the total complexity is the following. Before stopping, let me give you again for completeness of information. A table with the complexities of the known methods for multiplying polynomials and integers, large integers usually. So, again, product of polynomials and integers. If I have two polynomials, both of degree n. So let us assume that the degree is the same. The classical scheme of multiplying polynomials and integers as quadratic complex. This procedure has n log n complexity. There is an efficient and quite simple polynomial due to Karatsuba. Based on simple idea, we have no time to explain this, but you can easily find some reference. The complexity is O of n raised to the logarithm base 2 of 3. So this is n to one dot by nine. And the last choice is due to Shenagy and Strassen with many variants. Shenagy and Strassen. In this last algorithm, FFT is used, but in a different way. The complexity is n by log n, by there is another small factor that is log n, the logarithm of the log. Well, domande? Ora ci fermiamo 5 minuti, nella parte che resta guarderemo applicazioni di tipo più algebrico, sempre in ambito numerico applicativo della FFT. Ok, allora fermiamoci. Sì. Sono tutti stabili, ecco, l'unica cosa a cui stare attenti è ora qui non ho i valori precisi, la costante moltiplicativa che nella notazione con lo grande in genere non si mette. Ora, per la FFT vi ho dato il risultato di stabilità e sappiamo anche che la costante non ricordo, 2 o 1, insomma, è bassa la costante che nel caso dell'algoritmo classico è 2. Ora, nel caso di Karatsuba è anche bassa, non so quanto è la costante qui, quindi poi questo tipo di implicazioni ha, che la convenienza di una scelta piuttosto che un'altra in termini di tempi di esecuzione è legata alla grandezza di n. Per quale motivo? Se la costante è molto alta,
per un algoritmo che ha un comportamento asintotico migliore di un altro, però c'è una costante alta, allora comincerà a essere conveniente rispetto a quello che ha un comportamento asintotico peggiore solo per n abbastanza grande, no? Quindi alcuni di questi, anche qui ora dovrei andare a controllare quali software usano quali di questi algoritmi, ma sono, diciamo, ampiamente usati, cioè a differenza di altri risultati famosi dovuti ai teorici della complessità, poi tipo l'algoritmo di Strassen per la moltiplicazione di matrici, poi per problemi di, sia di stabilità ma anche di costanti elevate, nella pratica molti degli algoritmi che in teoria sono meravigliosi poi non si usano, ecco, questi qui sono tutti usabili e sono effettivamente usati nei pacchetti software tipo Maple, soprattutto, diciamo, quelli di orientamento più strettamente algebrico. Ok, riprendiamo fra 5 minuti.